الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has once again granted us the tawfiq to attend and participate in the annual da'wah conference organized by the Islamic Academy of Barbados. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance and may He grant us the tawfiq to correctly understand His deen and to practice whatever we understand, and grant us His eternal pleasure in Jannatul Firdaus in the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. Every Muslim believes that his success lies in abstaining from all those things which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is this abstaining from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is called taqwa. خَلِّ الظُّنُوبِ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. خلي الذنوب. علامہ سید محمود آلوسی بغدادی رحمہ اللہ تعالی has quoted this couplet in his تفسیر روح المعانی. خلی الذنوب صغیرہا و کبیرہا ذاک التقا. Abstain from sins, both minor and major. ذاک التقا, that is taqwa. Abstaining from all sins, abstaining from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be that disobedience minor or major, be that sin minor or major, ذاک التقا, that is taqwa. لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. And do not undermine a minor sin. Do not say it's only a minor sin. It's only a minor disobedience. Never look down upon a minor sin. إن الجبال من الحصى, because the mountain that you see in front of you is made of small pebbles. Pennies make pounds. Minor sin, minor sin, minor sin, minor sin, minor sin, minor sin will lead a person to commit a major sin. And then another major will follow, another major will follow, another major will follow. So minor sin, minor sin, minor sin, minor sin leads to a major sin, and this major sin leads to another major sin, and that leads to another major sin. So major sin, major sin, major sin, major sin, and that will ultimately lead a person to kufr. The ulama have stated in regard to good a'mal, good deeds, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be in the form of fara'id, it can be in the form of wajibat, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be in the form of sunan, and it can be in the form of mustahabbat, it can be in the form of adab. The ulama have stated, من تهاون بالآداب عذب بحرمان السنة. One who becomes negligent and lazy in carrying out the آداب, من تهاون بالآداب, optional items, etiquettes, آداب, optional آمال. One who becomes lazy, one who becomes negligent, it doesn't really matter, it's not important, it's only adab, it's only optional, it's only nafl, it's not farz, it's not wajib, it's not sunnah muakkada, it's not necessary. Man tahawana bil adab, the ulama, the muhakkikin, the luminaries, the great ulama, they have said that one who becomes negligent in carrying out adab, عُذِّبَ بِحِرْمَانِ السُنَّةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him for this. Allah will punish him. And Allah will punish him by depriving him of the tawfiq to carry out sunan. Why? Because he is looking down upon adab. It's only adab. It's only nafal. Adab, nafal, that is also ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also part of Sharia. It may not be compulsory. It may not be incumbent. But it is something that Allah has ordained. It is something that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught. Etiquettes of eating, etiquettes of sleeping, etiquettes of wuzu, adab. It's only adab. It doesn't really matter. You're extreme because you emphasize adab. You're extreme because you emphasize nawafil, optional deeds. How can a Muslim even utter these words that you're extreme because you're talking about adab? Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, states that adab is a fundamental item as far as deen is concerned. Adab, etiquettes. Adab is a fundamental item as far as deen is concerned. The more a person carries out adab, the more he will progress in deen. And the more a person neglects adab, the more he will degenerate in deen. Turukul ishki kulluha adabu. Addibu anfusakum ayyuhal ashabu. The great mashayikh have said that the paths leading to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all full of adab. Without adab, without etiquette, love does not exist. Divine love. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Love for the sahaba. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. If there is love, there is etiquette. If there is etiquette, there is love. Love cannot exist without adab. And if there are no adab, one cannot claim to have love. Many people stretch their legs towards the Qibla. And if you say to them, brother, you're stretching your legs towards Qibla, he will say, furnish me with proof from Quran or Sunnah, where does it say in the Quran that you cannot stretch your legs out towards the Kaaba, Qibla? Where does it say in the Quran that you cannot stretch your legs out towards the Qibla? Certain things are very obvious. Adab is an obvious thing. One who neglects adab, the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in were adorned with adab. Same with the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in. I can narrate innumerable instances, incidents of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, which will leave us astonished that this was the high degree of adab that they exercised with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with their own companions, with their teachers, with their shuyukh, with their elders. And it is through this adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated them. Let us not look down upon adab, my friends. So the one who looks down upon adab, the one who ignores adab, the one who undermines adab, the one who insults adab, it's only adab. It's not necessary. He's very extreme. Udhiva bihirmani sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive him of the tawfiq of sunan. So, adab did not exist in his life, now sunan does not exist. So, mustahabbat, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, everything is out of his life now. Now he begins to think this way, it's only a sunnah.
First it's only mustahab, then it's only sunnah ghair muakkada, then it's only sunnah muakkada, it's not wajib, it's not farz. When a person reaches this stage, وَمَنْ تَهَوَنَ بِالسُنَّةِ عُذِّبَ بِحِرْمَانِ الْفَرَائِضِ. When a person neglects sunan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes him by taking away the tawfeed to carry out wajibat and faraiz. Everything we do, everything we neglect has a knock-on effect, my friends. Looking down upon adab and nawafil will deprive a person from carrying out sunan. And looking down upon mustahabbat, sunan muakkada, sunan ghair muakkada will deprive a person from carrying out wajibat and faraiz. Similarly, when we engage in saghair, minor sins, it will lead us to commit major sins, and if we continue with major sins, it will lead us eventually to kufr. Allah says regarding the believers, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah is talking about the believers, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ. We turn away the hearts of the believers and the far-sightedness of the believers, and we make them as if they had never believed. كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will hold fast to taqwa. Taqwa. The first stage of taqwa is to abstain from kufr, abstain from shirk, and abstain from nifaq and hypocrisy. And the second stage of taqwa is to abstain from every minor and major disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is upon this level of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised everything. It is this level. Then there is the third level, there is the fourth level, there is the fifth level. But it is upon the second level that Allah has promised everything. And when a person reaches the second level, Allah will make the third level easy, fourth level easy, fifth level easy. But even if a person reaches the second level only, inshallah he will be successful to a very high degree in this world and also in the hereafter. So we need to concentrate on this level of taqwa. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freed us from kufr, he has freed us from shirk, and he has freed us from hypocrisy, nifaq. So we have already reached the first stage of taqwa. All we need to do is to go to the second stage of taqwa. And the second stage of taqwa is to abstain from anything and everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the people of the towns, if the people living in any locality were to accept iman, so accept iman, that is the first level of taqwa. If they were to accept iman, and thereafter the second level of taqwa, wattaqaw, and if they were to abstain from every disobedience to me, if they were to abstain from every sin, lafatahna alayhim barakatim minas samai wal ard. Allah promises that I would open the doors of the barakat from the heavens and from the earth. They would experience barakat from all six directions. From the top, from the bottom, from the right, from the left, from behind, from the front. They would see nothing but barakat in their lives if they had iman and with iman taqwa. Nowadays, my friends, our focus is not on taqwa. Our focus is on ibadat. Ibadat, worship, devotion. So we will have a person who recites three juz from the Quran on a daily basis. We will have a person who performs Salatul Tahajjud, Salatul Ishraq, Salatul Duha, Salatul Awwabin. We will have a person who spends a lot of time in the masjid. We will have a person who fasts every Monday, every Thursday. But whilst carrying out all these devotions, there are so many major sins in his life. So he is not a muttaqi as far as Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are concerned. He may fast every day, he may perform tahajjud on a daily basis. He may spend the night in tahajjud from Isha till Fajr daily. He may complete the whole Quran on a daily basis. He may recite Salat ala Nabi 5,000 times daily, third kalima 10,000 times daily. He may spend $1,000 daily in the path of Allah upon poor, upon the needy. But if there is one disobedience in his life, one sin that he is not prepared to live, he does not repent, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not a muttaqi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made any promises on a devotee. Allah has made promises for the muttaqi, not for the devotee, not for the abid. Allah does not say anywhere in the Quran that I will give this to an abid. I have promised this to an abid, abid the worshipper, devote. No. This is for muttaqi, this is for muttaqi, this is for muttaqi. Muttaqi will get this, muttaqi will get this, muttaqi will get that. And there are different words for muttaqi. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, amale saleh, that is also taqwa. Those people who accept iman and after accepting iman, they carry out good deeds. So amale saleh, good deeds. What does good deed mean? Only ibadat? No. They carry out good deeds and they also abstain from wrong, because abstaining from wrong is also a good deed. Amal-e Saleh, Taqwa, Amal-e Saleh, Islam, submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of submitting your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not doing anything which will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam, Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Only that person is worthy of the title of Muslim, from whose tongue and from whose hands other Muslims remain safe. So he is performing Salat, he is fasting, he is giving Zakah, he is doing everything that a Muslim should be doing. But with his tongue or with his hand, that means verbally or physically, he causes harm to other Muslims. And in the narration of Nasai Sharif, Al-Muslimu man saliman nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. Only that person is worthy of the title Al-Muslim, from whose tongue and from whose hand all people remain safe, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. So the whole Islam is in his life. Only one thing is missing. And what is that? He does not abstain from causing harm and pain to his fellow human beings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person does not deserve the title of Al-Muslim, because he is sinning. He does not deserve the title of Al-Muslim, he does not deserve the title of Al-Muttaqi, he does not deserve the title of Al-Mu'min Al-Kamil, complete believer. We worship, we worship, we worship, we worship. Despite our worship, we do not find the contentment of heart. Why? Why is there no peace in our lives? Why is it that we do not find tranquility of the heart? Why? Why is this happening? Despite all our ibadat. With this air-conditioned room, if we keep the windows and the doors open, we will not be able to find peace in this room. This room will begin to boil. Why? The air condition is on. It's generating cool air, but with this cool air, the windows are open. With this cool air, the doors are open. So if a person says, why is it that this room is not peaceful? I cannot find contentment, satisfaction, peace. Why am I feeling very hot here? An intelligent person will say, the windows are open. The doors are open. So when we carry out ibadat, when we give time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we sit in the company of the mashayikh, when we sit in the durus, when we attend gatherings such as these, recite the glorious Quran, dhikr, tasbih, nawafil, optional fast, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is generating the cool air that should grant us satisfaction in the heart, peace in the heart, contentment in the heart, tranquility in the heart, but it doesn't. Why? Because the window of the tongue is open. The window of the eyes is open. The window of the ears is open. We are sinning on a daily basis through the medium of the ears, through the medium of the tongue, through the medium of the eyes. So everything that we are generating is leaving us on a daily basis. And when we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, my friends, that day of Qiyamah will be Yawmul Fazail Akbar for us. We will not be able to find peace and satisfaction there also. Because we will be empty-handed, there is nothing. We were unable to safeguard anything that we had carried out. So in order to become successful in this world, in order to become successful at the time of death, in order to become successful in the grave, in order to become successful on the day of Qiyamah, in order to become successful on the Pul Sirat, and in order to successfully enter Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin, abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, abstain from everything that displeases me. Abstain from everything that displeases me so that you may become successful. And you are all human, so you will make mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us. He is our creator, so He knew that other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, nobody is immune from making a mistake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you do not live a life of a muttaqi, pure from sins, you will not become successful. So if we make a mistake, what happens then? So Allah says that I have created tawbah for you. Tawbah. Tawbah. So by committing a sin when you open the door, by carrying out tawbah, close that door. By committing a sin, if you open the window, then through tawbah, close that window. Tawbah. Tawbah. So when a person carries out taqwa, and with taqwa, tawbah. Taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah. Allah will grant him success in this world and the hereafter. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may become successful. And if you do make a mistake, then turn to tawbah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ O believers, repent, so that you may become successful. So our success lies in taqwa and tawbah. T and T. Taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa and tawbah. So this is the first point. Our success lies in taqwa and tawbah. Now the second point. How can we bring taqwa and tawbah in our lives? The answer is by subjugating and controlling the nafs. If the nafs is under control, we will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if once in a while nafs overpowers us, because it is in our control, we will immediately overpower it. we will realize that nafs is getting the better out of me, so I need to control it. So very quickly we will overpower it. It's like a father who has his child under control. But once in a while, the child will become a headache for the father. But if the father has control over the child, as soon as the father realizes that he is becoming a headache for me, he will control him. He knows how to control the child. Nafs is also like a child. Allama Busiri rahimahullah ta'ala says, An-nafsu kat-tifl. Nafs is like a child. We need to keep it under our control. The problem with majority of us, my friends, is, and this is an unfortunate scenario, but we have to accept this. We have to accept this. The case with majority of us is that we cannot control our nafs. It is the nafs that is controlling us. Majority of us who are so-called religious people, they are also controlled by nafs. Those who perform 5 times salat regularly, those who perform tahajjud, those who recite the Quran, those who engage in dawah work, those who are associated to mashayikh ulama, majority of us are being controlled by our base desires. And it is possible that the good that we see in our lives, that is also a deceit from nafs. Nafs is making us carry out those good deeds in search for fame and respect. It is possible. I am judge and jury for myself. You are judge and jury for yourself. It is for this reason, muhasaba, self-assessment is very, very necessary. Nowadays, instead of assessing ourselves, we always are assessing other people. Muhasaba is self-assessment. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Assess yourselves, reckon your lives before your lives and your amal are reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. Hasibu anfusakum muhasaba. The mashayikh teach us that on a daily basis a person should take out some time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and go over his last 24 hours. I had an argument today with the Imam Sahib. I had an argument today with my wife. I got angry on my child. I got angry today on my employee. Think. 15 minutes on a daily basis where you can think about everything that you did during the day. Or at least the majority of the points. Majority of the points. Was I on haq? Was I on haq or was my wife on haq? Did I do the right thing or wrong? It's my habit to get angry. Because I enjoy an influence. Nobody says anything to me. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not be told anything. We have to assess ourselves on a daily basis. Why did I perform salat today? What was my intention? Why did I go to the masjid? Why did I not go to the masjid today? Whilst lecturing, what was going through my heart and mind? Fame? Love for fame? What was going through my mind? Everybody is enjoying my lecture. Everybody is appreciating my lecture. After the bayan, what is my condition? My ears are waiting for comments, for positive comments regarding my bayan. This, my friends, nobody will be able to see in our lives. It is only we who can assess. I am the president of this masjid. I am the chairman of this association. Why? How do I feel that I have been elected as the president of the masjid? Why do I want to remain in this chair? Why am I in this chair? What is my intention? The very first hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala quotes in his Sahih al-Bukhari is, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, actions are dependent upon intentions. And our intentions, nobody can see except for ourselves and our creator. On a daily basis, we need to assess ourselves, my friends. We can deceive everybody, but two people we cannot deceive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ourselves. We need to control our nafs, my friends. We need to control our nafs. We need to control our nafs, subjugate our nafs. We only need to ask this question now, right in this conference. Am I controlling my nafs or is my nafs controlling me? If our nafs is controlling us, my friends, then we are heading for Jahannam. And if we are controlling the nafs, alhamdulillah, we are on the path towards Jannah. Without taqwa, a person cannot become successful. And taqwa can only come in one's life if he is able to control his nafs. And it is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that person is clever who controls his nafs. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. The clever one is he who controls his nafs. And as a result of controlling his nafs, what will happen? وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. He will be able to make preparations for the life after death. Subjugate the nafs. Subjugate the nafs. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, great tabi'i. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, has quoted this incident of Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, great tabi'i. There were seven fuqaha in Madina Munawwara who were very, very pious. Seven fuqaha who were very, very pious. Nowadays when we say that he is a faqih, that means in English he is a jurist. Faqih is a jurist. And who is a jurist? Who gives fatwa? Jaiz, not jaiz. Permissible, not permissible. Oh, faqih, this was not the meaning of the term faqih. Amongst the sahaba, rizwanullahi ta'ala ali majmain, amongst the tabi'in, amongst the taba tabi'in. Imran Al-Qasir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he came to Hassan al-Bisri rahimahullahu ta'ala. Hassan al-Bisri, great muhaddis and a great faqih. He said to Hassan, he asked a question to Hassan al-Bisri rahimahullahu ta'ala, a mas'ala. And whilst posing the question, he said, Al-fuqaha'u yaquluna kada wa kada. He posed the question, that is this permissible, is this not permissible, what is your opinion? What does the Sharia say in the light of the Quran and Hadith? And he said that the fuqaha say this and this regarding this masala. So Hassan al-Bisri rahimahullah ta'ala said, Hal ra'ita faqihan? He said, you are talking about fuqaha, that fuqaha say this. Have you ever come across a faqih? Have you seen a faqih? Faqih is not that person who knows what is lawful, what is unlawful. No. With this ilm, he has amal also. Have you ever come across a faqih? You are saying fuqaha say this and fuqaha say this. And thereafter he said, innamal faqihu. Let me tell you who a faqih is. His first quality is az-zahidu fi dunya. A faqih is that person who turns his face away from dunya. He is not interested in the material aspect of dunya. He is not interested in the fame of dunya. No, az-zahidu fi dunya, who has abstinence from dunya, that is his first quality of faqih. Second quality, war-raghibu fil akhirah, and he has raghbah and inclination towards akhirah. And when he has zuhd fi dunya and raghbah ilal akhirah, a faqih. In this day and age we would say he is a wali. What is the sign of wali? Sign of a wali is that he is zahid fi dunya. He has no interest in the world. And ar-raghiba fil akhirah, he has raghba towards the akhirah. And whether he has this quality or not, how will we know? By looking at his life? No. by sitting in his company, when we go in his company, if the love for the world decreases and the love for the akhirah increases, that is a sign that he is a faqih. Because if he did not have abstinence from the world, and if he did not have raghba for the akhirah, I would not have experienced the same feeling in his company. His first quality is zahidu fi dunya, second quality raghbat ila al-akhirah, third quality wal basiru bi amri dinihi. He is very strong when it comes to the understanding of deen. Understanding of deen, he does not only know jaiz, najaiz, no, very deep. He understands the deen properly. Wal basir, he has the farsightedness as far as the deen is concerned. Wal basiru bi amri dinihi. Why? Because he has the knowledge, he has the information from the books, and with that, because of his zuhd and because of his raghbat ila al-akhirah, his heart is pure, so he can see with the light of the heart also. So the brain is working and the heart is working. So he has a very good understanding of deen, a fine understanding of deen. And because he has abstinence from worldly perspective, and he has raghbah inclination towards akhirah, and he has complete understanding of deen, so his fourth quality will be wal mudawimu ala ibadati rabbihi. Every second of his life will be according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our success lies in abstaining from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, which is called taqwa. How can taqwa come in our lives? By subjugating the nafs, by controlling the nafs. And I was mentioning the story of Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala. There were seven fuqaha, there were dozens of fuqaha in Madina Munawwara, but these seven were the of the top category. So they have been given the title Al-Fuqaha Us-Sab'ah, the seven fuqaha of Madina Munawwara. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was one of them. He was traveling with his friends from Makkah Mukarram, from Madina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama to perform Umrah or Hajj. Imam Abdullah ibn Asad al-Yafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, writes this story. Two people have authored books with that same name, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. One is Allama Munziri rahimahullah ta'ala, and the second is Imam Abdullah ibn Asad al-Yafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. He quotes this story. When he reached a place called Abuwa, both of them decided that we should halt for a while. And Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala took the responsibility of staying behind and preparing the tent and looking after the animals and their belongings. And his other friend took the responsibility of going to the nearest place to find food. There was a small mountain or a hill near to where they had halted, and on top of this mountain or a hill there was a house in which resided a family wherein there was a very, very beautiful girl. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was a very handsome young man. When her gaze fell upon Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, because nafs was not subjugated, she fell in love with him. When she saw that there is only two of them and one of them has gone, so she knew that he is not going to return until 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, because he has gone to buy food, and the nearest place will take him at least 2-3 hours. She came down and she entered the tent where Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was, and as soon as Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala's gaze fell on her, he turned his gaze away. Kullil mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believing men and waqul lil mu'minat, and tell the believing women, yaghuddu min absarihim, yaghuddu min absarihim, that they should lower their gazes. Never become the victim of superiority complex that I have total control over myself. No, my friends. When shaitan and nafs can overpower us, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, the great Imam, he is in his final moments. And in his final moments, just a few hours before departing, when he was becoming unconscious, in the state of unconsciousness, he was saying, not yet, not now, not yet, not now. This happened a few times. So his son was very surprised that my father is scared of death. He's saying, not yet, not now. That means I don't want to come and meet the Creator. So he said, Dad, Father, all your life, you are saying to people that tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut, death is the gift of the believer. Because it is through death he enters Jannah, it is through death he meets his Creator. And you are continually saying, not yet, not now, not yet, not now. He said, no, my son, I am not saying not yet, not now for death. Shaitan is appearing before me in the state of my unconsciousness. And he is saying that, oh, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, I could not deviate you. You have gone away from my hands. Now you are going to enter Jannah soon. So Imam Muhammad said, I am telling Shaitan that not yet, not now. Until my soul does not depart, I cannot feel satisfied that I will go with Iman. No, not yet, not now. Even in the final moments you can deviate me. You can lead me astray. So Iman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala immediately turned his eyes away. And he said, oh my sister, what do you want? So she said, I have come for a need. So he started looking for something to give to her, assuming that she is a poor woman. So when she realized that Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala has not understood the message, she said, I need from you what a woman desires from a man. Upon hearing this, Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala began weeping like a child. When the lady saw this, when the young girl saw this, that he is crying, and he is crying loudly like a child, somebody may enter the tent and my honor is in danger, she left very quickly. And he continued crying for many minutes. Finally his friend arrived. When he arrived, he said, what's the matter with you? Your eyes are red, your face is swollen, you've been crying, what's bothering you? He said, I'm remembering my wife and children. They were sincere people. Sincere people. They used to carry out good deeds only for the Creator. So he said, I have seen people crying in remembrance of their wives and in remembrance of their parents and of their children. Not like this. Look at your face, it's swollen. Look at your eyes, they're red. You have to tell me. By Allah, you have to tell me. So he narrated the whole incident. Upon hearing this incident, his friend began crying and weeping and wailing like a small baby. So Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah said, what's the matter with you? He said, if I was on your place, I would not have been able to control myself. When you narrated this incident to me, out of the fear of the akhirah, I am crying. That what if I was in your place, what would have happened to me? They went to Makkah Mukarramah, they performed Umrah or Hajj, Tawaf, whatever they had to. And one day, Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was sitting between Maqam Ibrahim and Hajar Aswad, and whilst sitting there, he dozed off, and in that state he saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in his dream. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, who are you? I am Yusuf. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusufu ayyuhas siddiq. This is his title in the Quran, Siddiq. Who are you? He said, I am Yusuf. Are you Yusuf as Siddiq? He said, yes, I am Yusuf as Siddiq. Your story with Zulaikha is very astonishing. Your story with Zulaikha is very astonishing. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said that, but your story with the lady of Abwa is even more astonishing. Why? Because I am a Nabi and Nabi is Masoom. You are not a Nabi. You are not Masoom. Despite that, you subjugated your nafs and you controlled your nafs. So the method of acquiring taqwa is subjugating the nafs. In fact, subjugating the nafs is taqwa, and taqwa is subjugating the nafs. Now the final question, how can we subjugate the nafs? There are many ways of subjugating the nafs. One is by adopting the company of those people who have already subjugated the nafs, the company of the muttaqeen. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Oh, you who believe, become muttaqeen. Ittaqullah means become muttaqeen. O you who believe, fear the displeasure of Allah. O you who believe, stay away from the displeasure of Allah. And thereafter, what does Allah say? Wakunu ma'as sadiqeen. Remain in the company of the sadiqeen. Remain in the company of the truthful. Now, who are the truthful? Allah says in another place, ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqun. The sadiqeen are the muttaqeen, or the muttaqeen are the sadiqeen. Same thing. Different words, but conveys the same meaning. Those who are truthful. Truthful in what they say and truthful in what they do. So basically, this verse should read, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'al muttaqeen. O you who believe, abstain from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remain in the company of those people who abstain from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In majority of the places in the Quran, Allah says, ittaqullah, and thereafter He gives another order. This another order, the second order, is the method to bring taqwa in your life. So, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe, abstain from the disobedience to Allah, wakunu ma'as sadiqeen, ay, wakunu ma'al muttaqeen, sit in the company of those people who have taqwa. This is the method of bringing taqwa in your life. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. So this is one method of subjugating your nafs, subjugating your base desires. Sit in the company of the pious people, sit in the company of those people with taqwa, sit in the company of those people who follow the Sharia. Second, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, fear the displeasure of Allah. Stay away from the displeasure of Allah. Adopt taqwa. How can we bring taqwa in our lives? By subjugating the nafs. How do we subjugate the nafs? وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ بِغَدْ. By thinking, what have I sent for my hereafter? By thinking about the hereafter, that one day I will die. Whilst I am dying, nobody will be able to help me. I have so many friends around me, but nobody will be able to help me. My soul will be extracted. In the grave, nobody will be able to help me. On the day of Qiyamah, nobody will be able to help me. At the time of reckoning, nobody will be able to help me. How will I fare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I am made to stand in His court? When I am made to cross the sirat, what will happen to me? If I happen to fall in the fire of Jahannam, who will save me? By continually thinking about the stations of the hereafter. That one day I am definitely going to die. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. One day a person will have to die. The ultimate thing that will happen to all of us is death. Kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. So do whatever you are able to do. Na kuch maalo daulat, na dhan jayega, wealth, property, nothing will go with you in the grave. Fakat saath tere kafan jayega. The only thing that will go with you from the material things that you have is your kafan, is your shroud. Only amal will go with you. Yatba'ul mayyita salasatun. Three things will follow a deceased to the grave. فَيَرْجِوْ مِنْهُ إِسْنَانِ. And from these three things, two things will return. وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدْ. And only one thing will remain with him. يَرْجِوْ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. His family, friends will return, and his wealth will return. Wealth means his slaves, they will all return. وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ أَمَلُهُ. And only his amal will remain with him. موت آہستہ آ کر یہ بولی اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی. موت very silently, quietly came, and موت said to me that come with me, I have come to take you in the hereafter now. موت آہستہ آ کر یہ بولی اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی, حکم رب سے تمہیں لینے آئی. I have come to take you towards the آخرہ upon the command of my creator, my رب. اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی. Now come with me. ساتھ جائے گی نہ مال و دولت, ان کو ہو جائے گی تم سے نفرت. Your wealth will not go with you. Wealth will begin to dislike you. ساتھ جائے گی نیکی برائی. The only thing that will go with you will be نیکی, your good deeds, or برائی, your evil deeds. اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی, come with me. So فکر آخرت, worrying about the stations of the آخرت, visiting the graveyard at least once a month, and if it's on a fortnight basis, alhamdulillah, and on a weekly basis, alhamdulillah. If we go every week to the graveyard, then we will benefit, and the inhabitants of the graveyard will also benefit. Ala kuntu nahaitukum an ziyarati al-qubur. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I used to prevent you from visiting the graveyards. Ala fazuruha. In the initial stages, because the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama used to go in the graveyard and worship the graves. So in the initial stages, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to safeguard the sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajma'in from these old habits, he said, no, nobody should go to the graveyard after burial. Only go for burial. You don't go to visit the graveyard. Otherwise, he said, I used to prevent you from going to the graveyard. Now, alhamdulillah, your iman has become very firm. Ala fazuruha. I do not fear any shirk now. Ala fazuruha. Now you visit the graveyard. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Because visiting the graveyard will bring the realization of your death. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَتُزَهِّدُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. And it will create abstinence in your hearts from the worldly desires. So we should go to the graveyard. Many of us do go to the graveyard, but with the intention of only benefiting the deceased. No, we should go with the intention of benefiting ourselves. So this is another way of subjugating the nafs, by continually thinking about the hereafter. Continually thinking about death, that I may go any time. What will happen to me at the time of death? What will happen to me in the grave? What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to me at the time of reckoning? What will happen to me when I am crossing the Sirat? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, Wattakullah. Fear Allah. Bring taqwa in your life. Abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further, what does Allah say? Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amaloon. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what you are doing. Allah is fully aware of what you are doing. This is another way of subjugating nafs. This is the final point I'm going to mention. This is another way of subjugating nafs, that is to bring the realization in your heart and mind that my creator is watching me at all times. Zikr of the heart. One is the zikr of the tongue. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah. The other is the zikr of the heart and the mind. The tongue is talking about something else, or the tongue is silent, but the heart and mind is continually realizing that I am being watched. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. When a person wakes up in the morning, my Allah is watching me. When a person is overcome with grief, my Allah is watching me. Overcome with sorrow, my Allah is watching me. overcome with happiness, my Allah is watching me. In every circumstance, my Allah is watching me. A person becomes angry and he desires to say something unlawful. No, my Allah is watching. I am being watched. Wallahu khabirum bima ta'amaloon. Zikr. The zikr of the heart. Umar radiallahu anhu, one day he left his home during the night. He was walking in the streets of Madina Munawwara to see if any of his subjects were suffering, any poor person who is not giving attention that he required, that he needed, that he was deserving of. And whilst returning from this jawla, from this gush of his, when he was returning, after checking everything in Madina Munawwara, he heard an old lady saying to her daughter, "Qumi, Qumi, get up from your bed, get up from your bed. Wamzuki laban, and mix some water in the milk. Faqattala al fajru, very soon the light of dawn will break and you will not be able to do that." She was a milk woman. And she was asking her daughter to mix the water in the milk so that she can make more money. She is fully awake, but because she does not have the realization that my Creator is watching me, the nafs has overpowered her and she is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the young girl, she wakes up from her sleep, and when she hears the mother saying, "Umzukil laban," mix water into the milk, she says, "Alam yanhana Amirul Mu'mineen ya ummata." Oh my dear mother, has not Amirul Mu'mineen say in his khutbah that to mix water in the milk for those people who sell milk is not permissible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes it. She is fully aware because she has the realization that my Allah is watching me. And one day I will have to stand in his court. She is able to subjugate her nafs. So the mother says, "Leave Amirul Mu'mineen aside. He is neither watching you nor listening to your conversation." And Amirul Mu'mineen is outside, as Umar radiallahu anhu. Either he is sleeping in his home or he is performing his tahajjud salat on the musalla. So the girl said, "Ya ummatah, O my dear mother, in kana Umaru la yarani, fa ilahu Umar yarani. Umar is not watching me, but the Allah of Umar is watching me. I cannot do this." Allahu Akbar. Umar radiallahu anhu went home and he said to his sons that, "I have found a very good bride. Does any of you wish to marry her? Only upon this quality, that she has the realization at all times that my Allah is watching me. Only upon this quality." Because he knew that this woman will always be able to subjugate her nafs. And when a person is able to subjugate his nafs, her nafs, then that person can very easily carry out the command of taqwa, abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such a person will become successful in both worlds. So his son Asim radiallahu anhu said, "Oh my father, I will marry this woman." Umar radiallahu anhu said that, "I have hope that Allah will create a great Muslim personality from the generation of this woman." And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, the fifth Khalifa Rashid, was born from that lineage. So friends, I'm concluding now. Success of this world and the hereafter depends upon our abstaining totally from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can only abstain totally from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if nafs is under control. And we can only bring the nafs under control if we have the full realization that my Allah is watching me. If we have this realization that my Allah is watching me during daylight or in the darkness of the night, in public
or when we are alone, we will never be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or this realization that one day I will have to die, one day I will have to go to the grave, one day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day I will be reckoned for what I am doing, one day I will have to cross the sirat, one day I may fall in Jahannam and I may be punished, I may be deprived of Jannah. We will be able to resist the temptations of our nafs. And if we are able to subjugate the nafs, we will be able to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are able to do that, then we have all the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made on adopting taqwa. One of them is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, you will be successful. And the other is, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I will open all the doors of barakat for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa la'aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our families. Forgive the sins of our friends. Forgive the sins of our associates. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamar Rahimeen, forgive our minor sins. Forgive our major sins. O Arhamar Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to abstain from every disobedience to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to repent sincerely. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we make a firm resolution that from today we will not disobey you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, if overcome by nafs and shaitan, we were to disobey you, we would repent immediately. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our repentance. Accept our repentance. Accept our repentance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, shower your mercies upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enshroud all of us in your mercy. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us in this world, keep us on Iman. And when you take us from this world, take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your nearness, grant us your love, grant us your recognition. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, safeguard all of us from the snares of shaitan, from the deceit of our base desires. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the qabr easy for us.
O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us Husne Khatima. Grant us Husne Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us a good departure with Vilayat, with Siddiqiyat. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from the horrors of the grave. Save us from the punishment of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your mercy on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimin, make reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimin, make reckoning easy for us. Make reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimin, make pul sirat easy for us. Grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. Grant us entry into Jannah in the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. O Arhamur Rahimin, we praise you and we are grateful to you for uniting us today in this Dawah conference. O Arhamur Rahimin, we beseech you to unite us in Jannatul Firdaus in the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us every goodness of this world and every goodness of the hereafter. Save us from every evil of this world and save us from every evil of the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to do everything that pleases you. And grant us the tawfiq to stay away from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimin, unite our hearts on Haq. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us the tawfiq to respect each other. Grant us the tawfiq to love each other for your pleasure. Grant us the tawfiq to be considerate to each other. O Arhamur Rahimin, save us from causing any harm or any pain to our fellow Muslim brothers and our fellow human brothers. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us barakah in this world and also in the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimin, accept today's Dawah conference and make it a means of salvation for all of us in the hereafter. Make it a means of Hidayah spreading throughout Barbados, throughout West Indies, throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant each and every one of us acceptance in your court. O Arhamur Rahimin, every good that your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge. O Arhamur Rahimin, accept all our prayers. Grant us everything we have asked from you and grant us everything that we should have asked from you but we were unable to ask from you. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa rahmatika.